Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. Family, welcome to day 190. We are in the book of Micah today and tomorrow. Today we've got Micah chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then tomorrow we've got Micah chapters 4 through 7. So it'll take us 2 days to get through the book of Micah. I'm super, super excited. And I've gotten a lot out of reading and studying the book of Micah. I hope you will as well. If you've already done the reading, then everything that I'm going to say is going to make perfect sense because you have context because you've done the reading. If you haven't done the reading, then stop the video, stop the audio, go do the reading. You don't want to hear what I've got to say about God's word. You want to read the word of the Lord for yourself. And so read Micah chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then you'll have tons of context for what I'm going to say. Like always, I'm going to give you context clues. I'm going to give you some nerdy nuggets, some stuff that's just good to know, fun to know. And then I'll always leave off with a timeless truth. All right, so first context clue. Micah is our first southern prophet. Okay, up until this point, as we have been on our journey through the prophets, we've been looking at prophets who are prophesying to the northern tribe of Israel. But now we've got our first prophet who's prophesying to the southern tribe of Judah, okay? The southern kingdom, the northern kingdom versus southern kingdom. So all of my prophets thus far have been prophets prophesying to the northern kingdom. And now we've got Micah, who's our first prophet prophesying to the southern kingdom. So there's a little verse right here. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth. Okay, Moresheth is in the south. And so we get exactly where he's from. And then it says, during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Okay, kings of Judah. So we've got context for who Micah's talking to, where he's from, and who he's prophesying about, against, and all that. Okay, last little piece of context is that actually in our reading, Micah refers to himself. Okay, so in Micah chapter 3, verse 8, we get this verse. And we'll dive deeper into this verse a little later. But Micah chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "But as for me, okay, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might." That word justice is going to be really important for the book of Micah. I'm filled with justice and might to declare to Jacob. Okay, Jacob is another way of talking about the people of God. Okay, the descendants of Jacob. Okay, Jacob or the descendants of Jacob. To declare to Jacob his transgressions, to Israel his sin. Hear this, you leaders of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, who despise justice and distort all that is right, who build Zion on bloodshed and Jerusalem on wickedness. Her leaders judge for a bribe. So we got rulers that are going to get spoken against. Then we've got judges that are going to get spoken against. Okay, her leaders judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for a price. Okay, so priests are going to get judged. And her prophets tell fortunes for money. So Micah is setting up a juxtaposition between himself and unjust prophets, prophets who are prophesying what people want to hear, okay? And her prophets tell fortunes, and this is going to get into, you know, prophets are not designed to be fortune tellers. Prophets are designed to forthtell, not foretell. When you forthtell, you're forthright, means you tell the truth, as opposed to telling the future, okay? Now, obviously, there's going to be an element of biblical prophecy that is also about the future. There's some messianic prophecies here in the book of Micah. But Micah has an issue with the fact that these prophets are not telling the truth. So they are trying to tell the future. They're trying to tell fortunes without telling the truth.
Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No disaster will come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble. The temple, hill, a mound overgrown with thickets. So Micah is prophesying the fall of Jerusalem. He's predicting the fall of Jerusalem. He's saying, you guys are telling about good fortune, and unlike you, go back to verse 8, but as for me, I'm filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might. So we're going to get a massive theme right there. A massive theme of this book is going to be justice. Micah has an issue with leaders that lead for money, that rob the poor, that are full of greed. This is going to be a massive theme throughout the book. Next, just thing that you need to know for context. Micah and Isaiah prophesying during the same time. The Kings, the Book of Kings mentioned that he was prophesying at the same time of Isaiah, though Isaiah was a court prophet speaking to the rulers of Judah at the court. Micah is more of a country prophet, okay? So Micah's not necessarily in the royal court prophesying to these kings. Micah is a little bit like a John the Baptist kind of figure out in the rural areas. He's a country prophet. So Micah and Isaiah, contemporaries of each other, prophesying during the same time. But Isaiah is literally in a relationship with political leaders. And it doesn't seem like Micah has that same level of access, but still, nonetheless, a prophet. Just to give a little bit of context, I'm giving you context clues, but just to help us orient ourselves, Micah has three main oracles. And you can actually see these oracles just by looking at some repeated words. So we're going to get this in chapter 1, verse 2. You're going to get the word hear, okay? Hear. And then if you go to chapter 3, verse 1, you're going to get the word listen, okay? Listen. So you got hear and you got listen. And then if you go to chapter 6, verse 1, you're going to get that word again, listen, okay? So you can see Micah's oracles are actually prompted by the word listen, by the word hear. Okay, so he's going to start prophesying and he's going to trigger us to listen to these prophecies just with a simple word, hear, listen. Okay, so that's context. So there's three, most scholars would agree that there's three main oracles that are found in this book. And we can just read a little bit of it from the very, very first oracle, chapter 2, verse 1. Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light, they carry it out because it is in their power to do it. Okay? So Micah is going to prophesy against those who are in power. It's in their power to do it. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They defraud a man of his house, a fellow man of his inheritance. Now, it is deeply, deeply, deeply prohibited for the Jewish people to move boundary stones, right? Your boundary stones marked off your property as it related to another person's property. Now, this is a callback to Ahab taking Naboth's field way back in the Book of Kings. And Micah is going to bring it up and say, stuff like this keeps happening. The powerful are taking land, are taking homes from those who are vulnerable. This is a problem. Injustice, political injustice, financial injustice, the power of the wealthy or the wealthy abusing their power against the poor is going to be a massive theme all throughout the book of Micah. Actually, there are a lot of scholars who will call Micah the Amos of the South. Remember, Amos is prophesying to the northern kingdom of Israel, and the theme all throughout Amos's book is injustice, okay? That the poor aren't treated well. Well, Micah, the themes in the book of Micah are a lot like Amos, a massive theme of justice and injustice. But he's prophesying to the southern kingdom of Judah instead of the northern kingdom of Israel. Let's get into some nerdy nuggets, okay? I feel like I've given you enough to kind of orient yourself through the book of Micah. First, chapter 1, verse 2 to 7, would be a form of prophecy called a lawsuit oracle, which is a prophecy in the form of a trial. In it, Samaria and Jerusalem are summoned to court. The charge of being unfaithful to the covenant is made, and the verdict is given that both cities will be destroyed. So remember, if anyone is wondering, if anybody's in exile wondering, how did this happen? What's going on? Well, Mike is going to make it very clear. You were tried and found guilty. Hey, and because of your injustice, that makes you unfaithful to the covenant. Okay, because there's this link between unfaithful and unjust or unjust. All right, this is really nerdy. This is super, super nerdy, but I got to show it to you. Okay, so if you go to chapter 1 and you start at verse 10 and you go down to verse 16, there's all these cities that get listed. Okay, I'm just like looking in my Bible right now, and it's like there's Gath, there's Beth Ophrah, there is Shafir, there's Zanan, there's Beth Azel. Okay, there's all these cities that get listed. Well, the really interesting thing, if you know Hebrew, this comes to life, okay? Because the cities are all a play on words, okay? So Gath in Hebrew sounds like announce. Beth Li Afra, okay, in Hebrew means house of dust, okay? Shafir sounds like war trumpet. Zanan is very similar to come out. Beth Ezel sounds like to take away. Maroth sounds like, in Hebrew, the word bitter. Lachish sounds like team of horses. Morasheth, where Mike is actually from, in Hebrew, sounds like possession. Okay, Akzib sounds, in Hebrew, sounds like deceitful. And Marasha, in Hebrew, sounds like the word to depossess. So if you just look at what the words sound like, Micah's communicating the idea of deportation, of exile, okay? War trumpet, to come out, to take away, bitter, team of horses showing up to besiege your city, possession, deceitful, to depossess, okay? So Micah's doing something really, really, really creative. And if you don't know Hebrew, you don't really get it. So if you're wondering, why are all these town names here? That's actually why, because the town names phonetically sound like the theme that Mike is actually communicating. Okay, so then let's kind of get to chapter 3, okay? This is another lawsuit oracle against the rulers of Judah. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 are all against unjust politicians. Verses 5 through 8, against the prophets who have not defended the oppressed people. Verses 9 through 12, against the city of Jerusalem itself. The final section contains the first ever clear prophecy of the temple itself being destroyed. So if you wanted to know, like, when's the first time in the Bible a prophet is prophesying that the temple is going to get destroyed? It's right here in chapter 3. Chapter 3, we can start reading in verse 9. Hear this, you leaders of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, who despise justice and distort all that is right, who build Zion on bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness, her leaders judge for a bribe. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble. The temple hill, a mound overgrown with thicket. That is a clear prophecy against the temple in Jerusalem. This word by Micah would then save Jeremiah's life a century later, as he was threatened with death for daring to prophesy the temple destruction. He was saved when it was pointed out that the prophet Micah had already done so. All right, so that's a bunch of just nerdy nuggets for you from this section of the book, okay? But there's a little, there's a glimmer of hope, okay? I want you to see this consistent theme to the prophets. That there's all this, there's lawsuit oracles, and there's words against God's people and God's rulers and God's prophets and God's priests. and political rulers, okay? But then right here, snuck in the middle, in chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, we get this glimmer of hope. It says this, I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. This idea of remnant is going to continue to be a constant theme through the prophets. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. So I would say this is a prophecy of the Good Shepherd, of Jesus. This is a messianic prophecy that we have snuck right in the middle of oracles of destruction, oracles of judgment. And timeless truth. Again, I think we're living in a culture that just doesn't want to accept this, but I think that's the beauty of reading through the whole Bible, is you get the whole counsel of God. And when you get the whole counsel of God, you realize, oh man, yeah, there is this theme through the Bible. And here's the timeless truth that I got written down today. God is on the side of the oppressed. Religious leaders and politicians on his side who oppress and do not protect the people are judged harshly. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not making some Marxist claim, okay? I can't stand Marxism, right? So Marxism says that there's always a party, a group that's oppressed and there's always an oppressor. These are permanent groups. I'm not saying any of that. So I don't want you to hear that with those ears. I want you to hear it with just, imagine you just are not aware of all the noise in our culture. From a biblical perspective, this book is dealing with religious leaders who have a financial incentive to not protect the poor and to not defend the poor, to not love for the poor. And God says that when the poor are neglected and when those who are on God's side, who do have means, God has no problem with people being wealthy. The issue is that when we put unjust systems in place in order to capitalize on the plight of the poor, God has an issue with that. And I think we can see God's heart clearly reflected that he wants people who are in poverty to be empowered, not just cared for forever, not just reliant on a welfare state, but to genuinely find healing and find systems. And this is why land is supposed to get inherited. It's why land isn't supposed to move from family to family or from tribe to tribe. That God says, no, I portioned out the land and I have set this up so that every tribe like has a system as far as the land is concerned and property is concerned, where we are minimizing vulnerability. And so I think God's heart for the poor is clearly reflected in the book of Micah. And I think that's true for us today. I think we've got to apply it in ways that are wise, but that is a timeless truth. All right, I'll be right here tomorrow to finish out the book. We're going to look at Micah chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7. We got 4 chapters tomorrow. And I'll see you right here for day 191 as we continue our trek through the book of Micah. What a gem. What a good book. I can't wait to see you. If you're on a streak, don't break it. I'll see you right here tomorrow. Love you. Peace.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Bible Department podcast. If this episode was helpful, it would mean the world to me if you'd give us a follow, rate and review the show, and don't forget to share. You can learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and find us on Instagram at The Bible Department. If you want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow. What if I told you that what you're learning in this video was just the tip of the iceberg? The Bible Department is actually powered by Arma. What is Arma? I'm so glad you asked. Arma is an online subscription-based platform that we designed to help people
everyday people learn the Bible for themselves. We started Arma so that anybody, anywhere could have access to trustworthy and entertaining Bible and theology content. In addition to this podcast, we have over 60 courses on individual books of the Bible, on theology topics, and on some hot topics like homosexuality, tithing, and women in ministry. But really, Arma is a community of people that I've gotten to know, a community where thousands of people are currently finding family, asking questions, and nerding out on the Bible together. If you want a community to read the Bible with you this year, or if you want to dive into some deeper theological content, or if you want more exclusive access to me and the entire Arma team, how about you go to thebibledepartment.com. I'll be sure to post the link in the description of this video. Let's make this your year to become a Bible nerd.